Good evening. It's great to be with you. I've been excited to spend some time with all of you this evening. We had an exciting experience this last week. We had 8 new coaches up at the cabin being trained on the principles of the assessment. Dr. Jacobs, are you with us this evening? He might be on mute. He was with us up there. It was great to have all of those folks with us as we're going through these principles and to be able to take individuals into the mathematics that drive the assessment. It's so fun for people to go, oh, that's how you get to it. That's why you know. Because I'm not reading tea leaves. We are actually looking at mathematics when we're looking at someone's assessment report. So it's great to be able to share that with even more people. Wonderful things happening at the Og Mandino Group as we're getting ready to take these principles out to more and more of the world, and we sure appreciate you being here tonight and having this opportunity to serve you. We are going to go into a very complex part of the assessment tonight. We have talked about connection with people, and we'll want to continue to look outside of ourselves, become great listeners, ask those empathetic questions, create a safe place, take down walls of resistance, create connection. We're going to want to continue to use our mind constructively, catch ourselves during the day. Am I over here in fantasy, catastrophe? Because a lot of people are still spending a lot of time in catastrophe. Not going to go there today. I'm going to stay in creation. I'm going to have trust that if I stay in creation, I'm going to get inspired ideas. I'll act on them, and they will ignite my passion. And that I can be in the present and the here and now, living here. We talked about this last week. This is the only place where we can touch the timeline of our life is right now in the now. It is always now. This is such an interesting concept. It is always now. 30 minutes from now, it's still now. 10 years from now, it's still now. It is always now. We leave the now often to go into our minds. We want to discipline ourselves to a point that we only go there to get inspired ideas so that we can come back in the now and execute on them. But it is always now. It's a wonderful concept. It is always now. We wake up in the morning. We're still in the now. It's always here with us. Where are we? Are we here? Because this is the only place where we take these inspired ideas and do the work of creation, bring them into tangible reality. If we stay focused here, we are really plugged into the planet. This is when we can be inspired. This is when people can be put on our path that we can serve and who can serve us. This is where we magnify our talents and we're actually given more because we're fully maximizing what we already have. This is the place where it happens. Now, I told you last week we're going to take on one of the biggest barriers to success. I'm going to do my very best tonight. Some people wonder if I have notes. I had a coach here with us last week sitting in the room, and we got done with the session, and she said, "You don't have any notes." I said, "No. I've coached this hundreds of times. I understand the principles. I'm just going to seek guidance tonight, as I always do, to assist you in helping you better understand this piece so that we can make better and better choices. The area is discipline and structure. I want you to open up your assessments. If you don't have it with you, just take some notes. I want to spend a little bit of time on these 6 measurements because they both have strengths and challenges. Now, 99.5% of those who are entrepreneurial in the nature, they're trying to build a business, a home business, a sales business. Anytime we're not just employed, and sometimes when we are, but when we're not, 99.5% of the time, this first measurement, disciplined, is orange and sometimes red. Now, very simply, just make a note and ask yourself, do I follow rules? Because they make sense. Do I follow rules simply because they're rules? Do I have an intrinsic value for structure, rules, policies, procedures? Well, that's just the rule. I just do it. That's what I do. Or are you one that would question it and say, but it doesn't make sense? Why should I sit here at a stoplight at 2 o'clock in the morning with someone who's in labor sitting next to me and there isn't anybody around? I need to get to the hospital. I know it's a rule, stop at a red light, but does it make sense? Do you stay there till it turns green? Or you just move forward? Do you follow the rules because they're rules, or do you follow them only because they make sense? Just reflect on that for a moment. Ask yourself, how is it that you look at the rules? Now, if you look at them only if they make sense, that's called entrepreneurialism, or thinking outside the box. We're looking for something that works better, something that makes more sense, something that works better. That's a discipline measurement. So if you've got an orange or a red discipline, what you know is that you're resisting structure. Now, what happens when we're resisting structure and someone tries to impose structure on us? How do we respond to that? Just ponder, think about that. Now, I'm not talking about the person imposing, I'm talking about the structure that's being imposed. You do it this way, you do it this way, you do it my way or the highway, make your first million this way, make your second million any way you want to. Raise the hair up on the back of your neck just a little bit. Because here's the truth. If we have grown up being an employee, it's very easy in today's corporate culture to become very bored because we're constantly mandated, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. We've got quotas, directives. We show up in the morning, clock in, we go to lunch, we clock out, go back to our lives. Sometimes as an employee, we come to this space and it's an obligation. We need the money. The number one reason why people keep their jobs is for health insurance. Isn't that interesting? Not because they love what they're doing, not because their job keeps them excited, passionate. They come because they need the health insurance. Or they're trying to save money for a vacation, or they just need the money just to get by, to meet their needs. When we're in that space, and many people come from that and decide, I want to be entrepreneurial. I want to run my own business. I want to have time freedom, financial freedom. Here's the truth. When we shift from being an employee to being a business owner, we find that we're trading bosses. That's all. Instead of having a boss, a supervisor, telling us what to do, the boss becomes ourself. You'll never want to go into like a home-based business or like network marketing, go into insurance sales or real estate sales, if you cannot be your own boss. Your own boss. You can tell yourself when to get up and when to work, and you can put together a schedule and stick to it. Because that's what an entrepreneur thrives for. Control. It's just control. They're not looking to work less. They're just looking to work for themselves. What they eat, where they sleep, the car they drive is dependent on what they create. They want to have the freedom to create something they own. That's an entrepreneur. And quite often they'll work longer hours, work much harder than they ever did as an employee, because now they're not just going through the motions in a day. What they do determines whether they eat and where they sleep. Everything becomes results-driven, and that's a big shift for many people, to have their daily activity, what they do, drive the economic meter. That's entrepreneurism. So when we have this resistance to structure, it can serve us if we're using it to be creative in how we do, but not if it's keeping us from doing. In other words, if we just want to be able to get up when we want to get up and spend what we want to spend whenever we want to spend it, we don't want to have to be told when to show up and when not to show up. We just want time and financial freedom. We are buying into a lie. That place doesn't exist. Now, I'm very familiar with Michael Gerber. He's a friend of mine. I've got his books here on my shelf. I've been to his dreaming studios, etc. And he talks about working on your business instead of in your business. And yes, we'll get to that in a moment. But when you first start a business, we are in the middle of the business. And sometimes we're wearing multiple hats and we're doing the work. So take a look at discipline, because the very things you want are often right behind the very things you're resisting. So if you've got a business and you're resisting placing advertising, you're resisting making cold calls, you're resisting doing prospecting, you're resisting those things. If those things aren't things I want to do, that's part of the deal. And early on, you do them all. You can eventually hire assistants. You could do other marketing things with other people. But in the initial stages of starting a business, you're wearing all these hats. So just take a look at that discipline. Again, orange, red, it can serve you in thinking outside the box for solutions. But it can also be just terribly resistant to structure, period. Just wants to be able to go, leave me alone. Just know when you slide into that space, this orange or red measurement is destroying you. It's keeping you from doing the very things that create success. Successful people are very disciplined. They don't follow just the rules. They follow rules that make sense. But they are structured. They are disciplined. So just take a look at that measurement and ask yourselves, am I using this to think outside the box, to be creative, in preparation for doing? Or am I just not being disciplined? That's the first measurement. Now, teachable, this next measurement. We shift from the discussion of the structure to the messenger. This is the person who is telling you about the structure. Now, about 90% of entrepreneurs have this measurement orange, teachable orange. When it turns orange, it just says we are resistant to people who are trying to impose the structure on us, especially if they're trying to use their position of authority as the lever. It was back when we were a child, and they said, but I'm your father, I'm your mother. And they had power over us. Or you might have been in a relationship where someone tried to act like they had power over you, or physically, because of their strength, they did. Just remember that day when you were just saying, if I ever get out of this, if I ever can get free from this, I will never allow myself to ever get in a situation like that again. This is a driver for some entrepreneurs. They plan their lives so that no one can be in control of them. Now make a note that this measurement is orange or red. Entrepreneurs typically value contribution and not title. Contribution versus title. Very important piece. Now, one of the things you want to do as we go through this process is start looking for the good in the message, so we don't just throw the messenger out, the baby with the bathwater. quite often that person that we're resisting reminds us at some level of a parent or a coach or a former spouse or something. So they push our button. Next measurement's analytical. 97% of you have this measurement orange or red. Analytical is a measurement of how much time you spend thinking. Now, if you're looking at your assessment, go straight across from that to goal-oriented. Some of you have both of these, orange or red, or one or the other. One is internal, vividly visualizing how you'd like your life to be. Analytical is external, how you'd like the world to show up. You're out here, you're solving problems, you're constantly obsessively thinking. First question. Let's write this down. What do I do to shut off my mind? What do I do to shut off my mind? You will want to rest from this. And that'll generally take an intentional action. Some people say, I sleep. Some people have trouble going to sleep because it's still churning. Some people anesthetize it with alcohol or drugs. That's probably not a good thing to do. Some people exercise, listen to music. There's a lot of ways that we can try to shut this down. But just be okay that if you've got a red analytical and you're saying that, you know, the only way I can shut this down is to watch some mindless television, give yourself permission to do that. Not every night and not for hours, but occasionally go get some rest. If exercise can help you and that'll help preoccupy your mind, that would be wonderful. I know that when I go play golf, that's what happens. I shut off my mind. I'm absolutely present in the process. I'm planning the next shot or whatever. I'm not very good. But whatever it is, have something planned to do this. Now, the gift is your mind thinks effortlessly. Effortlessly. The challenge is that when it's thinking effortlessly, it's going to get really attached to whatever it's thinking about. And the single greatest risk is that you might get so attached that you're going to need to be right. And if someone doesn't agree with you, you may get into a right-wrong discussion. The reason for that, if I could just open up your minds for a moment to this concept that these thought processes process in absolutes, all and or nothing. There's nothing in between. All or nothing. You can't change that. You can step back from it and not let it control you, but it's all or nothing. So when you come up with an idea, it's like history. It's a done deal. Someone comes and wants to change it. It's like they want to change history. They want to rewrite history. That doesn't make any sense, but that's how it functions. You can step back from it and not be controlled by it. But if you're not careful, we can get into right-wrong battles and over silly things, very silly things. I wrote in the book that we can blow up a marriage based on the correct topping for a pizza, pepperoni or sausage. And my client told me, no, actually, it was a bagel. Because these thought processes do not distinguish the seriousness of the topic. It is everything is right or wrong, life or death, all or nothing, black or white. That's how they process, period. This is a hard one to step back from. If you've got an orange or red analytical, it's a hard one to step back from. And we're going to talk a little bit, a few minutes, about some things you can do to help address this piece. But if you need to be right, it means somebody else needs to be wrong. And if you look up at self-esteem on your assessment, just take a look up there at whole and complete, confident, valiant, persistent, deliberate, unconditional, any orange or red up there. Those are the danger points. Because when somebody else needs to be right, and they're forcing you to be wrong, it's personal. You can't think this effortlessly, this much, and not get attached to your idea. And when you're attached to your idea, it is welded to, it's inextricably connected, welded to your esteem, your self-worth. So when someone doesn't agree with you, it's like they don't like you. They don't think you're worthy. They don't think you're capable. They don't, like, they don't believe in your belief systems. They don't trust you. That's how it feels. And interestingly, the very buttons they're pushing are the same ones you push. That's the same dialogue you're having with yourself about yourself. They're just pushing the same buttons, because that's kind of the weak places in self-esteem. So take a look at analytical. Ask yourself, before we go on these principles tonight, how often am I getting into a right-wrong battle? If I got on a three-way call with your closest coworker or with a committed companion, I said, does so-and-so ever have strong opinions about the way things ought to be done? We're going to want to pay attention to the principles we talk about tonight, because you want to have this gift to effortlessly think. That's very powerful, so long as we don't end up needing to be right about our ideas. Methodical. This tells me when someone disagrees with us or there's a different idea on the table, how open are we to considering it? Can we analyze it? Can we see the risks? Can we see the good? It's just a validation that when methodical turns orange, we might really, really be stuck. Consistent. Consistent is orange more and more of the time because we have tasks that we need to do or want to do. We don't want to do them, but they need to be done. And we don't want to do them. We're too tired. This is overwhelming. It takes too much time. And so we postpone it. We sit here on a Tuesday night and we postpone it till Friday. Now just look at Friday. Friday's 3 or 4 days away. That's pretty safe. We don't have to worry about that today. We don't have to worry about Friday. But it's close enough that we can feel good about having it scheduled. Just make a note just for a second. Just write down big uglies. Write that down on your paper. Big uglies. What big uglies am I putting off? Is there anything that you're putting off that you just need to jump into? I got a couple of big uglies. Get those scheduled. The challenge that we all have is that if we have one of those big uglies and we have a consistent measurement, orange, red, when we get to Friday, finally get there, this thought process is going to introduce 100 other things we could do. All of them valuable, all of them important, but anything to avoid having to jump in and do that big ugly. And the message is jump in this time. Jump in, get it done, feel what it feels like to have this accomplishment. You know what it feels like when you take something on. It's a tremendous sense of relief. We get to free our mind from all the worry and fear and doubt and confusion about not having it done. It just feels good to have it off our plate. Lastly, loyal. How good are we at helping others adhere to the rules? What's happening? Are we lenient? Are we a tyrant? See if you got an orange there. It's generally blue or green. But these are all these systemic thoughts in our external world. It's about discipline. It's about people trying to impose structure on us, using their authority to do so, constantly thinking, resisting other people's ideas, keeping to a schedule, helping others adhere to the rules. These systemic thoughts, all or nothing, win or lose, life or death. These are some of the noisiest thought processes. These are some of the most powerful thought processes. Mathematically, some of them are the most insignificant. Analytical, methodical. The least significant mathematically in the assessment. Yet they're the tail that often wags the dog. So let's walk through a few principles. very first piece. If we attempt to become quote-unquote disciplined, and we have struggled in this area, we will most likely fail. Let's plan on it. If you're going to make yourself stick to a schedule, you won't stick to it very long. Because you're doing right-wrong thinking about right-wrong thinking. It's becoming systemic. That's what it means. You want to force yourself to do something you don't really want to do. Chances are you won't stick very long to it. This is the list that we write in New Year's. We call them resolutions. But frankly, we don't have enough resolve to keep them. And the reason why is we don't have passion. It becomes boring, mundane, repetitive, burdensome, hard, very difficult to do. We're going to want to have a bigger reason than just doing it. It's the why we're doing it that will keep it alive. We're looking at structure. If I do structure for structure purposes, I probably won't do it. But I look at this and I say, for an example, I'd like to lose some weight. And I think I said last Monday I was talking about the exercise program Ramona had been on, and now it's 3 weeks and 2 days instead of just 12 days. We've got another week under our belt. How exciting. Got up this morning. We're doing it twice as long now as we did the first 2 weeks. It feels great. First thing in the morning, still dark outside. And the secret to it is we have decided that it's not about a walk. It's about 30 minutes of time that we want to spend together. This is our time to discuss our hopes and our dreams. A book that we might be reading. A grandchild that we need to brainstorm some thoughts about. This morning it was a conversation around watching the grandkids next month. Well, his daughter and son-in-law go to Mexico for a week. Planning that out. It gives us that opportunity, and instead of just sitting, we walk. Well, I can tell you that if I had to get up and I was going to force myself to do this walk every morning, I probably wouldn't be doing it anymore. But I'm having so much fun having these conversations with Ramona that the walk is just ancillary. That's how we find ways to create joy around systems. For example, many of you I know are in a network marketing business, and sometimes making calls is uncomfortable. And we get in touch with what it is we want to create and the friends and people we'd like to meet to invite into our business. Look at a stack of leads and we mentally rehearse and we put skin on those bones, lives on those people, and we look beyond the phone call. We start to have fun connecting and having conversations with people. It's not about a have to make a cold call. It becomes about excitement about meeting new people, creating new friends. It has to have something bigger than just the activity itself, or we won't sustain it. So if you're resisting structure, I'm helping a couple of network marketing companies right now develop a training program, and in both instances, the conversation is that people come first. People. The system supports us in connecting with people. It's not the end all. Call three people, do four things. That's a system. Nobody does those. They fail, and so they create new ones, and those fail, and they create new ones, and those fail. It's always an ad nauseum that the network marketing companies are creating systems. For it to work, we must be focused on the value of the human being and blessing the lives of people. And these are tools. The system are tools that help us do this. They cannot be the focus. They're there to support the process, not to be the process. So if disciplined is the case, that's something you're going to want to consider, is taking whatever it is you haven't wanted to do, and not just forcing yourself to do it day in and day out, but finding something bigger, something more exciting, something more comprehensive as the purpose, and let it just be the action that you take. But your whole mindset is around something else, like the walk I do with Ramona. Teachable. Teachable and analytical, we have a process. It's looking for the good in something. We talk about this in the book. It's also in your studio under this quality of mental rehearsal. Looking for the good. Now, this is really hard to do because this thought process grabs us and we get molecules and ligands released into our body. We get really attached to these ideas. We can feel it in the cells of our being. We think this is who we are until we set it aside. And when we set it aside and we start to look for the good in either the message from the messenger, so we're not caught up in the tone of the voice or the appearance or the approach, but we hear the message. And we glean for value that'll help us with teachable. In terms of analytical, when we need to be right, we cannot see good in another person's idea. I was on the phone this morning with a client. She was talking about working with a contractor who's remodeling her house. And he won't listen to her. He just won't listen. And it's hard for her to listen to him. And we're talking about the fact that part of the reason is probably wounding his self-esteem. She's a very powerful woman. He's probably terribly intimidated. It has nothing to do with not listening to her. He just can't see it because he's stuck in this systemic space. We cannot see it. And I've used the analogy several times, and I'll just use it again tonight because it's my favorite, that when you get underneath an avocado tree and you're looking for an avocado to pick, you cannot see it. Until you focus and focus and focus, and you finally see an avocado. What is very fascinating is when you see one, you see them all. It's not unlike finding the good in another person's idea. There cannot be good in it. Ours is the way. But when we set it aside, and we truly listen to another person's idea, we don't have to agree with them. But we can find good in their idea. And when we find it and we verbalize it, you know what I like best about that is this. We know. We find good in the person's idea. We are finding good in the person because it's personal. It's the highest level of intrinsic validation, connection with a person. It's the most difficult time to connect. Because we feel so strongly about our idea. This is even more difficult than when someone approaches us with a caustic comment and we need to defend our position because we feel hurt. This is a little higher than that. We feel so strongly about our idea. But when we can set aside and look for the good, chances are we'll not only find it, we'll find a lot of it. Now, if you're on the phone and you've got a spouse, committed companion, I'm going to challenge you to do that this week. When you're sharing ideas, to really listen and use those words when you find the idea. What I like best about your idea is this. And just watch what it does. Way too many couples spend way too much time arguing over systemic concepts. We can't let them go, because until it's fixed or changed, the world is on tilt. And a systemic thought will chew and chew and chew and chew and chew and churn and churn and churn and churn and churn and chew and churn and churn and churn until it finds a solution. And when it has it, it's personal. So spend some time this week practicing what I like best about your idea is, this isn't something we do for a week. This is something we want to adopt for a lifetime. And it's amazing what happens to relationships when you're looking for the good in another person's ideas. The companion to this exercise, many of you have done this. I'm going to ask you to pick one more person to do it with. You're going to sit down with someone this week. Assuming you are comfortable doing this. And you're going to step into their world. I was working with a client yesterday. I'm still waiting to hear the phone call to hear how it turned out. Who's felt very strongly about the way he's been thinking. And at the core of his thought processes has been fantasy. And you have a spouse who has been living in reality, changing the diapers, washing the windows, taking out the trash, if you will, trying to get the bills paid, with a spouse who's in fantasy, grandiose ideas about how everything's going to be done, and no plan for actually creating it. The conversation last night, if it went as planned, sounded like this. This is a really vulnerable approach. I have come to the realization that I have a thought process. It's very active. Gets very attached to its ideas. And when it does, if I don't step back from it, I need to be right. What's it been like for you? All of these weeks, months, years, how long you've been together, or however long you've known this person or been in business with them. What's it like for you when I need to be right? What's it like for you? Now you can feel the energy in my voice. This is truly pleading for an answer. Then just listen. Knowing that with these measurements, if they say something that doesn't sound right, like last Thursday when you said this, and you're going, I didn't say that. Don't go there. You're giving them permission to have their experience. I said, last Thursday you said this, and it hurt my feelings, and I just was devastated for 3 days. And you're thinking, well, I didn't say that, and that's not what I meant, and you shouldn't have felt that way. You can't go there. Cannot go there. You just say, well, tell me more about that. Share with me what it's like for you when that happens. Is there anything else you'd like to share? I'm going to have you add one more thing to it that is not in the book and is not in the training, but it became part of this exercise last night. I've had clients do this, and with incredible results. This is what it sounds like. I just want you to hear it. I am so deeply sorry for the pain that's caused. This is a deeply ingrained habit, and I'm beginning today to change that habit. It's going to take some time. I know that, and I know I'll probably violate it again in the process. I'll check in with you regularly to see how I'm doing. But I am going to work on this one. I want to relieve you of that pressure. Everybody hear that? I am deeply sorry for the pain that has caused. Now, don't expect them to start crying or, you know, thank you, everything's well. You could add to that, and I know this is going to take some time. And I know you may be suspicious while I'm going through it. But I'm going to do my best. Thanks for sharing. Now, not everybody on the phone has this challenge. I recognize that. But I'm speaking to those who do. I got to speak boldly to you, because I've got a red analytical. But I know what it's capable of doing. I know I have crushed some people with it. I am deeply sorry for the pain that has caused you. I'll be working on that. Take this one on this week. You could have one of the most precious conversations you've ever had, because I know this, that the vast majority of problems in a marriage are not about finances. That's what the literature says. Finances get thrown into a conversation that is right, wrong, win, lose, systemic. It is the systemic element that crushes the relationship. The need to be right about thinking a certain way. That's the crusher. Most people can work through financial challenges, but it's nearly impossible to work through a financial challenge, which can be devastating to a relationship, if we also need to be right and defensive about the decisions we've made and why we're doing things. Let us be the ones who start to release this pressure in our relationships. What's it been like for you to be in a relationship with me when I'm in this place? These are crazy wild thoughts. And they control most people. We talk about the observer's chair, sitting here in the observer's chair. In the observer's chair, the way these would look, I would be thinking outside the box for new and better ways to do things, but I would be very interested in everybody else's creative thoughts. I'd find good in their ideas. We'll find a solution that works for all. Teachable, sitting here in the observer's chair, I'm going to glean the value out of the message. Sitting here in the observer's chair, I'm going to think effortlessly. I'm going to come up with great solutions. But I'm going to invite others to share theirs as well. I'm not going to crush anyone to be right about an idea. If I'm in the observer's chair. Now, I'm not always in the observer's chair with that thought process. I've made that pretty clear. Methodical. Someone's got a different idea. I'll analyze it. I'll find the good in it. I'll also have the courage to be clear. When I schedule a big ugly, I'm not just delaying action. I truly do not have the time today to do it, and I will schedule it the first opportunity I have. And if it means I rise early, whatever's required, when it comes, it will be done. And I will be triumphant. I will meet my natural genius, that procrastination we talked about, where we jump in and we get to meet our own power, even though we're surprised. I'm not going to be surprised. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to expect it to be there. I'm going to take this on. I will figure it out. Don't have the answers now, but when I jump in, I will figure it out. I've got faith that I will. Well, that's discipline and structure. It is at the core of our lives because many of us live in resistance and resentment and sometimes open rebellion, even about those things that we know to be true in our heart of hearts. The invitation is to be authentic, anthosectic, our true self, acting on our own moral authority, doing the next right thing for the right reason, because we want to and get to and choose to. Let us see this noise for what it is. Let us find a bigger purpose for doing it, other than just the overcoming the lack of discipline in it. Let's have a bigger purpose so that we can find the strength to do the very things that create success. Now this week, I'm going to have you focus on a scroll we sometimes focus on with mental creation. It is scroll number 6. I'll be the master of my emotions. There are two things I want you to focus on while you're reading this scroll. One, when he talks about how will I master these emotions so that each day will be productive. He says, for unless my mood is right, the day will be a failure. Trees and plants depend on the weather to flourish, but I make mine own weather, yea, I transport it with me. Sometimes this resistance, this resentment, this rebellion, this needing to be right about how we're not feeling very good, shows up with us in public. Agape, this heightened level of awareness, the purpose for it is for us to become consciously aware of how we're showing up in that space. It's not acting. It's awareness. We would never walk into an audience of people with a deadly illness knowing we're going to infect everyone. Well, that's just where I want to be. That's all there is to it. This is who I am. It's not who we are. We would never do that. But sometimes we'll walk into a group of people filled with venom and frustration and victimhood. And when we bring, as he says, gloom, rain and gloom and darkness and pessimism to this world, if we do that, the world will react with rain and gloom and darkness and pessimism. And they will purchase not. In other words, they will not respect our opinions, our products. They said, but if I bring joy and enthusiasm and brightness and laughter, we might say, well, I don't feel that way. Blog tells us how to make this shift. He's telling us that our moods are our choice. He's not talking about if we've got a viral infection, we feel awful. Stay home and get some sleep. But he is telling us that the vast majority of the time, the way we feel, oh, I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling worn out, I'm feeling overwhelmed, those are choices. Because he says, weak is he who permits his thoughts to control his actions. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. It is a well-known fact that our thoughts cause the release of molecules in our body through the sympathetic nervous system. They attach to the cells of our body, and we feel, very literally feel. We want to change how we feel. We think differently. And I gave us a whole list. If I feel depressed, I'll sing. If I feel sad, I will laugh. If I feel ill, I will double my labor. If I feel fear, I will plunge ahead. If I feel inferior, I'll wear new garments. If I feel uncertain, I will raise my voice. And on he goes. We consciously choose to think differently, which causes the release of different molecules in our body that connect to the cells of our body, and we very literally feel different. The way we feel is a choice, the vast majority of the time. The way we feel is a choice. So if we are not feeling very excited or very committed, it's our choice. That's the choice we're making. That's why our thoughts dictate our actions, and our actions determine our results. If we don't like the circumstances we're in, just know we most likely got here by a series of thought processes that had to show up in circumstances and act in a way that created this very outcome. So if we don't like the outcome, let's start consciously shifting the thoughts. He goes on to say that there will be days when I must constantly struggle against forces that would tear me down. This is a wanting to go into catastrophe, not going in a day. I'm going to stay in creation. Constantly struggle. Then we get to the end of this scroll, and he tells us this, and with this new knowledge, I will also understand and recognize the moods of he on whom I call. I'll make allowances for his anger and irritation of the day, for he knows not the secret of controlling his mind. Now you do. You know. You know this is a choice. You know you can step back. You know you can look for good. You can let go of the need to be right. You know these things. He or she may not know them. I can withstand his arrows and insults, for now I know that tomorrow he will change. and be a joy to approach. Because Og started this talking about emotions that, you know, one day we're up, the next day we're down, the next day we're up, next day we're down. It's this cruel trick of nature. He's also telling us we can make a choice to not be so high or low. We can make that choice if we want to. Otherwise, we're just going to be up and down. No longer will I judge a man on one meeting. No longer will I fail to call again tomorrow, and he who meets me with anger today. Now, this next sentence is hyperbole. It's an exaggeration, but he's trying to make a point. This day, he will not buy gold chariots for a penny. When somebody needs to be right about something, you can't convince them. You can't explain it to them. Oh, come on, this is common sense. Because it's not about the topic anymore. It's about their self-esteem. They are fighting to protect their self-esteem, their ideas tied to their esteem. You will not be able to sell them a gold chariot for a penny, so don't even try. Yet tomorrow, he will exchange his home for a tree. Now, that sounds ludicrous. Who's going to trade their home and sleep under a tree? But he's saying that they'll be so open to possibilities the next day. My knowledge of this secret will be my key to great wealth. Today I'll be the master of my emotions. So two things this week as you're studying this scroll. One, become aware of your own emotional energy, your own emotional weather. Are you a tornado? Are you sunshine? Are you a drizzly rainstorm? Are you a hurricane? Are you an earthquake? Are you a beautiful spring day? How are you showing up? Become conscious of your weather condition. Two, be conscious of other people. They don't know the secret of controlling their mind. Observe people and see how they influence or impact people negatively by the way in which they show up. And don't let them impact you. Because today they won't buy a gold chariot for a penny. Don't try. Tomorrow they'll trade their house for a tree. That secret will be your key to great wealth. Because you won't waste any time in battles with people. Because today they're not going to change their mind. You don't change people's minds. But tomorrow they'll be a different person. They'll be in a different mood. They'll show up because they are allowing their thoughts to control their actions. We're going to force our actions to control our thoughts. So have some fun with those two principles in scroll number 6. Why do we do all of this? What's this got to do with anything? It's got everything to do with everything. Because this set of thought processes can be so terribly destructive when we're out functioning in the world. Or they can be a tremendous asset in being creative, respectful, effortlessly thinking. Choice is ours. Very literally, the choice is ours. We're just about to the top of the hour. I want to pause for a moment. Is there anything that I can do to serve anyone on the phone about this topic or any other topic that we discuss? Just come off of mute because we're not hearing. If you're talking, just come off of mute. No, I'm here to serve.
Hi, Dave. This is Kat.
Hi, Kat.
Hi. I don't. One of the big ahas that I took away from tonight is the whole big ugly discussion. Because I'm a really good procrastinator. You know, when that big ugly thing comes up, I said, I'm going to do it. And then I don't, and I reschedule it. And the aha tonight was that it's because I feel I have to know everything about accomplishing that big ugly. I have to know, you know, what's going to happen. I have to know what I'm going to do. And what you said was that if I schedule it, I'm moving into that place and things will, you know, fall into place, so to speak. In other words, the knowing will come, and then I need to trust that more. And I find that that's where I'm faltering, is the trust in myself, and I get stuck in the fear of not doing it right, not looking right, it me not knowing. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Because when you schedule, let's say that you schedule one from tonight to Friday, what you can do, instead of scheduling it to procrastinate it, you know, is that way of just getting it out there far enough that you feel good about it, but far enough away that, or excuse me, close enough you feel good about it, but far enough away that you're safe, is to put it there and then take this very active thought process you have and goal-oriented and start mentally rehearsing. Start mentally rehearsing what you would do. And you'll start getting excited about doing it.
I don't do enough of that.
Yeah.
I just fill in my time with the other tasks that I need to do, and all of a sudden the big ugly thing is back again.
Yeah, because we're postponing it instead of putting it in a time slot committed to do, and now we're thinking about in preparation all the things we could do to make that work. But, you know, we have plenty of time during the day to do that, because most of our time we're in catastrophe or fantasy or frustration. Or if we take all of that time and we just plug it into going to stay in creation, well, what can I think about? Well, I can think about that task I've got on Friday morning. And when you come to Friday morning with all kinds of ideas you've written down in your journal, you know, I could do this, I could do that, you're like three steps ahead of the whole process when you jump into it. You kind of have a direction. You've got an idea where to start. I just bring that mental creation, that mental rehearsal to the scheduled item. Kat, I just had this morning. I had a big agreement that needed to be written today, a very comprehensive document of something that we're developing for a client. And it was scheduled for this morning, and I started seeing all kinds of stuff getting scheduled, which meant getting up earlier and earlier to try to figure that out. And last night, I just went into mental rehearsal. I got to tell you, I almost got out of bed last night to come down here to work on it, because I got so excited about an idea for where I could start it. So I went to sleep finally with knowing that when I got to it tomorrow, I could jump right on it. I was looking forward to getting to it. That's how we want to be approaching these big uglies. And when we get an inspired idea about a big ugly, it will ignite our passion. That's how we get the big uglies done. I popped in here today, and in between everything, at 5 o'clock tonight, the agreement went out, email to the client. I was so excited. Whew, there it was, exactly everything we needed. So spend a little time in that mental rehearsal about the big uglies. And for some of you, that could be you're going to work on the yard, it might be clean the garage, it might be whatever it might be. Just be thinking about how to approach it and where you'd want to start and how it could make a difference. You just get one little idea like that, and it does ignite your passion. And passion will drive you to get it done. Does that mean anything to you, Kat? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense in terms of my character and what I've been doing, and knowing that if I'm going to put it off, then what I need to insert into the schedule is the time to take a look at that, to mentally rehearse and to create it in my mind first. And that's what I haven't been doing. I haven't been scheduling that action before.
I feel really impressed to share something with you that's going to sound like off the wall, but it's tied to this, actually. As I said earlier, you want to have a bigger purpose for those big uglies. You mentioned to us last week that you're making this decision to go into your network marketing business full-time. Is that correct?
It is.
It is correct. I was talking to someone today about network marketing, client. And I said, I just shared this with him. I'm going to share it with you. I said, one of the single greatest challenges in the network marketing profession is that the networking part of it, the building of the business, is often the vehicle to get us to where we want to be. We'd like to have this house, this car, this income, and this is what we're going to do to get that. And when we approach network marketing from that perspective, because it's all about lifestyle. I mean, people sell lifestyle, 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 freedom, time, passive income, etc. When that's what we're looking at, what it takes to do it becomes extremely hard, boring, mundane, repetitious. He said, what's the answer? And I said, we want to have part of our why tied up in the actual process itself. Part of my why is that I want to become a great leader. I want to become a fearless leader. I want to have the courage to make phone calls. I want to learn to love people. I want to be a great mentor where I can lift and build and help other people realize their dreams. I want to build a team that's successful, unlike any other team, where people are supporting each other and taking phone calls and helping the little guy who's struggling get up. That's what I want to do with my life. That's a totally different approach to network marketing. It's making the process of being the networker a significant part of your why and your dream. Now, when you approach it that way, you'll actually build a business, and it will generate revenue. And with that revenue, you can actually go buy stuff if you want to. I would highly recommend that when people start to build that income, they don't keep raising their lifestyle equal to the income they're making. They actually stop focusing on a bigger car, bigger house, bigger, 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 and they start investing that money so that it will start working for them and start generating revenue back. So they'll have the passive income from the ever-growing business, and they'll have the investment revenue from the money they've invested instead of spending. Because I've watched in this profession so many increase their lifestyle commensurate to the build, and they never slow down. And if they ever run into a hiccup, they lose everything. Because there's no substance, there's no savings, there's no protection. So, in summary, take a look at your why. Is your why about things you'd like to have or a lifestyle you'd like to experience? And if it is, start building some of your why around your love for people and wanting to bless their lives. That will be the secret. Because that means you'll actually love, you'll want to get up in the morning and do the business, because it is the vehicle for you to love and serve and mentor other human beings. The money will be a natural outcome.
Thank you.
There's my inspiration for the night. Hopefully it serves. Anyone else that we can serve tonight? Well, Kat, as usual, you've been inspiring. Thank you for raising those questions. And when you do, I think you know from your experience of having been on these calls for a while that you actually bless other people's lives. I got some amazing emails last week from people who are deeply grateful for the comments that were made last week. So thank you so much for that. I know we had two people share last week, and I was trying to remember who the second person was. I don't believe it was Diana, because I think she was gone last week. Anyway, thanks everybody who did share, and thanks for sharing tonight. Okay, you got everybody got your homework assignments. Looking for the good, meeting with someone with whom you might have needed to be right and may have crushed, and tell them you're going to be working on this one. and studying Scroll 6 three times a day, really let this one in your soul so that you can consciously be shifting how you're feeling and also become more aware of how other people are showing up so that you're not offended by it. Heightened level of awareness, agape love toward them. And next week, we're going to come in and take on joy in the journey. This is one of my favorite topics because at some point in time, peace of mind is what we all want. How do we get to the peace of mind? We're going to spend our time on that next week. So thanks, everyone. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thanks, everyone. Let's jump off of mute and just say goodnight.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks, everyone. Good night. Good night, everyone.